In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Nicodemus was a wise man. He was a Pharisee and a leader of the church of Jesus' time. He was also a member of the Sanhedrin, the church's highest court. So he knew the law. He knew the law and he lived by it and was respected. You don't get to be on the highest court of the church in Israel unless you are considered by your peers a holy man and of high repute and well respected. Today, he is recognized throughout the world and celebrated as a saint in the Catholic Church, many branches of the Orthodox Church, the Anglican Church, and the Lutheran Church. He is celebrated as the patron saint, and you can guess it, of curiosity. Nicodemus had a discerning heart. He was a curious, wise man. He had heard of Jesus and his extraordinary ministry and wanted to learn more from him. On those occasions when Jesus was in Jerusalem, Nicodemus sought audience with him. And being so high up in the church, he dared not visit this rebel rabbi during the day and risk being seen. So he came to Jesus in the safety by night, sneaking in. And you know what? It didn't matter to Jesus. Jesus instructs this Pharisee, this leader, this high court member. He does it anyway. But before he teaches in this passage, Jesus is addressed by Nicodemus. He calls Jesus Rabbi. That doesn't seem so unusual. A lot of people had called Jesus Rabbi. But when a member of the Sanhedrin, made up mostly of rabbis, addresses Jesus as rabbi, he is acknowledging him as an equal, as a colleague. That was the high level of this encounter. Nicodemus adds, "We know that you have come from God. We know," suggests, "that others besides himself were paying attention to Jesus and maybe believed in him, even at the highest level of the church." So Jesus goes deep, and he wants Nicodemus to stretch his understanding of God. And this is confusing stuff for someone who lives literally and strictly observing the law. You must be born from above, born of water and of spirit. The Spirit of God is like the wind. It cannot be controlled or manipulated to suit. It works mysteriously and miraculously. And the biggie. We'll read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. And because God loved the world, and all that he had created. God did not want to destroy it. He did not want to condemn it. He wanted to save it. Jesus was encouraging his high-ranking student, this intelligent, wise man, to go further, to stretch his wider understanding and love of God. Whatever we think we know about God and are comfortable with in our lives, there's always so much more. God is way larger than any of our simple understandings. And isn't that what we do during Lent? We stretch ourselves more deeply and further than at other times during the year. Nicodemus is mentioned two other times in John's Gospel. The second time is when Jesus is before the Sanhedrin. And several members are ready to condemn Jesus as soon as he walks in. It is Nicodemus who reminds his colleagues, our law does not judge people without first giving them a hearing to find out what they are saying and doing, does it? What a powerful pause. We should not prejudge. And finally, Nicodemus is present after the crucifixion at Jesus' burial. He is assisting Joseph of Arimathea, who is in possession of Jesus' body. Nicodemus provided the customary embalming spices of myrrh and aloes, 100 pounds worth. A quantity so large, it far exceeded ordinary proportions, because this was a royal burial. This was Nicodemus's gift and his sign of love and respect to the crucified Christ. As the wise men at the Epiphany paid homage to the newborn Jesus and offered gifts, including that same myrrh, the wise man Nicodemus offered his gifts in homage and as a sign of love and respect. To assist in someone's burial was a final act of love for the deceased. Just as we pay respects at a memorial service of one of our loved ones. I've gone on quite a bit about Nicodemus in my message this morning. He's often portrayed as a weak character, sneaking in at night to gain audience with Jesus, and then appearing too small-minded to grasp all that Jesus has to say to him. I don't adhere to that sentiment. I think his story is told at Lent for a reason and with purpose. We also ask God, how can these things be? Why do these things happen to me? How am I not in control? Why does the Spirit have to blow around like the wind? I say, these are good questions to bring before God. It shows that we are seeking a fuller understanding of Him, and that we are asking for wisdom because we are curious. And we have a discerning heart gifted to us by God. We seek God throughout the year, and we do so with a special focus and deeper effort during Lent. We stretch ourselves. We stretch out to our brothers and sisters. We stretch up to God for more understanding and His love. May God continue to fill our discerning hearts and minds with more knowledge and love of Him as we stretch ourselves out to be closer to our Creator and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.